Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I want you to notice right off the bat now, there was what you were, and there is a but now. There's a then and now, and the difference is in the beginning of verse 13, there, in Christ Jesus. The difference is not that you turned over a new leaf or you made a decision. Christ is the difference. Let me ask you some questions this morning. Are you proud? Are you a proud person? Are you self-righteous? Do you always have to have your way about everything? Do you think you know more and know better than everybody else? Is your opinion always right? Do you look down on other people? Now, I'm not talking about as a matter of doctrine. I'm not asking you, do you think it's right to look down on other people? I'm saying in your everyday conversation, you ever make fun of anybody and look down on them for anything? Think somebody's less than you are for any reason? Do you know what the cure for that is? And you need to be cured of it. Because you know what God does to proud people? He breaks them. He's going to break you in mercy, or he's going to break you in wrath, but he's going to break you. You see, he has no rivals. There's no boasting in salvation. Pride is excluded. And there's none anywhere in God's universe, not ultimately. You remember what we studied not long ago? The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. What's going to happen to everybody else? They're going to be in the dust. And they're either going to be glad to be there, or they're going to be crying to the mountains and the rocks to cover them up and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. But they're going to be in the dust. Everybody else. You know what the cure is? If you're a believer, here's the cure. Wherefore, remember. Remember. Do you remember? Do you remember what you were, where you were? You remember how it was? I tell you this, it'll take the stuffing out of you if you can remember. And now this is a message for believers. It's for unbelievers by proxy, but you can't remember something you don't know. You see, you can't recall something that you haven't experienced. If you don't know God, you don't believe the truth of God, then you just need to know what you are. You need to know what you are. And if you do know God and know what you are, you need to remember. That's what Paul is exhorting us to here. This morning, remember. Remember. Remember two things. Not just you, but remember him too. Remember the difference. There's a difference between now and then if you're his, and the difference is a person. Remember that you were Gentiles. That's how he starts it. Remember that you were Gentile. Considered dogs, the uncircumcision, unclean. He describes us now in verse 2. You remember that this is the context. We got to always see the context. Never take any scripture, just rip it out of the Bible and consider it by itself. It's always, there's always the immediate context, and then there's the general context of all scripture. Scripture sheds light on scripture. This is what he's talking about. We're in time past, verse 2. You walked according to the course of this world. You look at this world and you say, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You're talking about yourself, but for his grace. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to Satan. Oh man, we don't like to hear about that, do we? You can't ignore it though, can you? The Lord told the Pharisees, who were proud, they were known for their pride, weren't they? Proud of their religion now. Proud of being, you know, sons of Abraham. And God is our father. He said, no, God's not your father. The devil's your father. How about you? Are you proud? Are you proud? Our Lord became of no reputation. And even being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. You know whose daddy you are if you're proud? I will be like the Most High God. You're of your father, the devil. And that's what the Lord told them. He said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. When Peter, in his own interests, he said, you savor the things that be of man and not of God. Denied the truth. Wherein you walked according to the prince of the power of the air. You know, demon possession in Hollywood, what it looks like in, you know, in the movies and what it actually is, it's two different things. Paul said, if you believe not Christ, if you haven't submitted to him, if he hasn't opened your heart and come in, you're taken captive by the devil at his will. All right, now, the spirit that's still working in the children of disobedience, what's wrong with them? Among whom also we all had our conversation, our conduct, we all acted that way in times past. And here's why, in the lusts of our flesh, all we cared about was our flesh, fulfilling our flesh, promoting our flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's no difference in the believer and the unbeliever by nature. That's why we say things, and we say what we are by nature. We use Bible language in that. By nature, we're dead in trespasses and sins. By nature, we don't know God and can't know God. By nature, we're subject to his wrath. Remember that. Remember what you are. Remember what you are. And remember that you were without Christ. Does that mean anything to you? Think about that for a minute. Without Christ. Without life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Without light, I'm the light of the world. To be without Christ is to be without everything good and necessary. Better to be without food or water or breath than to be without Christ. You have one need. I say this to you all the time. Have we learned it yet? Have I learned it yet? There's a lot of things we think we need. We only have one need. One thing is needful, the Lord said to Martha. And Mary hath chosen it. Where's Mary? She's sitting at the feet of the Savior, hearing his word. Christ is the one thing needful. Well, I got to breathe. No, you don't. You don't need your next breath, but you need Christ. I need a drink. Well, I know what you mean by that, but you don't. You need Christ. I hope that's clear. You were without, do you remember what it is to be without Him? You know what's interesting is you don't know what it is to really to be without Him until you aren't without Him. But do you remember now when you were without Him? No, to be without rest. Christ is our Sabbath. He's our rest. People quote that verse, you know, and they relate it to hard labor in this world. You see somebody working hard out in the sun and they're sweating. They say, no, there's no rest for the wicked. That's not in the Bible. But I tell you what is in the Bible. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Do you remember? Do you remember back before you heard His loving, kind, gracious, beautiful voice say to you, to your heart, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you remember that? Our Lord wasn't talking about physical labor when He said that. Do you remember when you had no rest? When you were trusting in your flesh and you were trying to please God in your flesh, you were trying to keep the law in your flesh, even though, as Paul said, without, according to the deeds, the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. That's why you had no rest, because you could never get there. You could never measure up. You couldn't give up enough stuff and you couldn't turn over enough new leaves. But then you heard His voice. We didn't know how tired we were until we rested, did we? Strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, the people of God, strangers. This is spiritual Israel now. They're not all Israel which are of Israel. This is talking about spiritual Israel, excluded from God's people. Think about what this represents. Do you take for granted your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you remember when you had none? You want to go back and be friends with the world? Anybody? You think the world gives a hoot for you? Do you now? What would you give for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Can you even imagine what it would be like without them? It's good to think about it, isn't it? Remember, when you were out in the cold. Oh, but now. Strangers from the covenants of promise. You think about that now. Strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no reason whatsoever to believe that God had anything for you except condemnation and wrath. No reason whatsoever to believe. Strangers from the gospel, the covenants of promise. If you hate God this morning, if you hate God, whether you know it or not, you may love your God and hate God. But if you hate God this morning, I would no more tell you that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life than I would tell you that I have a spaceship in my backyard. I could say it, but it wouldn't make it true. You strangers from the covenants of promise. Without God and without what? Without hope. Outside of Christ, there is no hope for you. Is that clear? If you're not in the ark, there is no hope for you. It didn't say on the outside of the ark, smile, God loves you. And it don't say it now. Anywhere in the Word of God. If you have not Christ, you have not life. That's what it says. There's no hope for you outside of Him. That's the message of the gospel now. Oh, but in Christ, can you remember what it was like to have no hope from God, no glimmer, to be a stranger to the gospel, And that's the next line of our text. To be without Christ and without the truth of His covenant grace in Christ is to be without hope. Without hope. Without God and without hope in this world. Do you remember what it's like? What that would be like? David said, now you think about this. Strangers of the covenant of His promise to His people. David said that God hath made with me an everlasting covenant is all my salvation and all my desire. Do you know what it's like to be without that? Can you remember that? I can't hardly imagine being a stranger to that. Can you? Because even when I was, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that meant, but I can remember. I can remember when I was. Remember this. You were without hope. Who then can be saved? With men, it is impossible. No hope. Dead, in this very context, dead in trespasses and sins. You don't need, dead men don't need to decide something. They need a miracle of God's grace and love. That's what they need. That's what salvation is. No understanding. Lydia had no understanding. And then what happened? God opened her heart. Salvation's of the Lord. They didn't have any idea what the Lord was talking about on the road to Emmaus, did they? They were sad that He had died. And then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And they rejoiced and said, Lord, don't leave us. Stay with us a while. But in ourselves, left as we are by nature, dead, lusting for everything evil, incurably vile and wretched. When you get to feeling good about yourself, remember. You think Peter ever remembered? He ever thought back on that time that he was walking on the water? Do you think he got to thinking, wow, you know, look at me, I'm walking on the water. And then all of a sudden, he was until he wasn't he? And it says he got to looking at the waves. You know how you look at something? You look away from something else. You know what he looked away from, don't you? He got to looking at the waves and the winds, and he began to sink. You think he ever thought back on that? When you get to thinking good about yourself, that you're something, somebody, get a little proud, a little self-righteous. Remember when you were sinking in the waves, and the only thing between you and hell was the Master's hand. Can you remember that? Remember your issue of blood and how you had spent everything that you had and was just getting worse. Do you remember that? Remember your leprosy and cry with the leper, Lord, if you will. Can you remember that? When everything, all the marbles, hung upon the will of Jesus Christ. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Everything hung on His will, not your will. Can you remember that? If you don't know it, you can't remember it. And even if you know it, you may have forgotten it. Remember, and remember this. You're no better now than you were then. Do you realize that? Now you think about that with me for a second. Are you better now than you were then? Oh, well, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. I didn't say you weren't better off. You're a whole lot better off, but you're not better. Paul said, as a believer in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Do you remember who God told Hosea to love? When God said, I'm going to teach you, a sinner, something about my love for my people, he said to Hosea, go and love a woman who is a harlot. He didn't say, go and love a woman who used to be a harlot. He didn't say, go and love a woman that would have been a harlot if it wasn't for my grace. He said, you go love a harlot. Do we know anything about the love of God? We're not any better now than we were then. I'm a whole lot better off, though. But don't just remember what you were. Don't just remember the condition you were in. Don't just remember the hopelessness of your case. But remember what God did about it. Remember what He did about it. What He did about it. Not I made my decision for Jesus, or I got saved, or I did. Remember the grace of God. You read Ephesians chapter 1. Read the context of our lesson this morning, and you tell me you did something for God. But God. We find out about us in this. You remember where we read a while ago? Children of wrath, lusting after everything evil, by nature under the wrath of God, subject to His wrath, without hope, without God, without hope, dead in trespasses and sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He didn't love somebody that used to be nasty and disgusting and unfaithful. Even when we were, hath quickened us together with Christ. He gave us life. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He passed by that dead baby that was in its blood and said, it's the time of love. Live. You remember that? That's what we're trying to remember. But God, who is rich in mercy, He loved you. He loved you. And so He gave you life with Christ. We have no blessings that aren't with Christ, by Christ, through Christ, for the sake of Christ, because of Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember that you were dead, and how that even when you were dead in trespasses and sins, and vile and wretched and hopeless, God loved you and was rich in mercy toward you. Mercy's not just a doctrine that we agree with. Have you experienced the mercy of God? Can you remember? He quickened you. He saved you by His grace. And He raised you up and made you sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He lifted the beggar from the dunghill, the psalmist said, and set him among princes. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget that. Now here's my other question for you this morning. Are you cast down? Are you discouraged? Are you weak? Are you heavy laden? Are you sad? Are you worried about anything? Wherefore, remember. Remember the love and mercy and grace of God. It's good and profitable to remember. I have another question for you. Are you growing cold? Indifferent to the things of God? Do the things of God mean less to you than they have at one time? Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. I want to read you the context of this. We'll look particularly, I believe, at verse 5. But look at it. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor, your patience, and how you can't bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. I hope the Lord could say that about us, that we can't bear that which is evil. Let's put down all self-righteousness and pride and error in our midst, if we find it in ourselves or in anybody, even in the person we love the most. Let's put it down. Can't stand it. And you've borne and have patience, and for my name's sake you've labored and haven't fainted. I pray that's true too. What's this for? What's this about? Is this a social club for us? Are we actually doing something for God? For His name's sake? And you know, as I always say to you, I got to say it because it's just true. It's not really us doing something for Him. It's Him doing something for us. If we're in on this, but He says, you're laboring for me. That's gracious of Him to say that, isn't it? Because we really don't do anything. You know that, right? You've labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You don't love me like you did. That's just simple language for what he said now. What do you think he's talking about? Who do you think we love? Do we love things or do we love Him? You've left your first love. You know what we need to do about that? By God's grace, by His strength and power, you know what we need to do? Look at the next word. Remember. That's all I'm saying to you this morning. Wherefore, remember. Remember. Remember what you were, and remember Him. That's what we do when we come to the table, isn't it? Look at what he said in verse 13 of our, let me just read it to you if you're not there. But now in Christ Jesus, you who at one time, that's what that word sometimes is, you were at one time afar off, you're made nigh by the blood. That's what God did. This is just another way of describing it. What he said earlier, God who is rich in mercy for his great love. The reason he did it is because he loved you, and his love is great. It's not like yours. We say we love God. Well, there's not much worth talking about, though, is it? Our love, but his love now. His love is great. And he's rich in mercy, and he loved you. And so he gave you life. He quickened you together with Christ. It's just another way of saying that. How did he do that? How does he quicken us? Where is life to be found? How are we going to have life? By the blood, the precious blood of Christ. God never has, since the fall, he never has been approachable except by blood. We're talking about being made nigh to God and how that happens. He's never been approachable except by blood. You know why God rejected Cain? He had not respect unto Cain and his offering. No blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's just not. We're afar off spiritually. By nature, we're enmity against God. Now, this is not complicated. This is simple. We are enmity against God. By nature, the children of wrath, according to the course of this world, according to the power of Satan that works in us, but now we're near to God. Far off by nature, but now we have fellowship with God. We have communion with God. We have favor with God. We have the blessing of God. How? By the blood of Christ. By his precious blood. As the Lord described the Pharisees in Matthew 15:8, he said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's all of us by nature. No difference by nature, it says in our context. This is part of what is taught in verse 13 of our text. My heart is no longer far from him. My heart. Your heart is far from me. He said, not anymore, Lord. Not anymore. My heart is near unto God. It's made nigh by the blood. That's love, isn't it? That's love. My heart is nigh. And you know what else this is? To be nigh unto God, it's reconciliation. To be nigh is to be reconciled. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But now, you who were at one time afar off, you're a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. It's just almost a parallel, isn't it, to our verse, verse 13 of our text. New creation, and reconciled unto himself by Jesus Christ, and he's given to us, Paul said, the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're going about telling sinners, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. You were already condemned, already by nature a child of his wrath. But he came into the world that the world through him might be saved, to reconcile the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word. Now then, what does that make us? We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. How can there be reconciliation with God? How are we made nigh unto him? By the blood of Christ. That's the next verse in 2 Corinthians 5. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How did he do that? The blood on the cross. When Christ bore the sins of his people, he was made what we are. And he was under God's wrath for my sin, that I might be the very righteousness of God in him. That's the only righteousness that'll hold up before God. His righteousness. I stand in him. Be ye reconciled to God, for Christ has died under our sin, with our sin on him. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was made to be far from God. You were at one time afar off. And he was made far off, wasn't he? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? That you might be nigh. So that God would never forsake you. Isn't that what he said? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Why? My God, he forsook his son in my place. Remember, that's my message this morning. Remember, wherefore remember. This is what we do when we come to this table down here now. This is not just a piece of furniture, and it's not some religious ritual we do. The Lord said, this do, why? To remember. In remembrance of me. When we hold the bread in our hand and the cup in our hand, we remember who he is and what he did. And we remember why he did it. We remember what he saved us from. We think about what we were and where we were and where, by his precious blood, we are now. Nigh unto God. That's a good word, isn't it? Nigh. Nigh. When Moses asked God to show him his glory, Moses said to God Almighty, show me your glory. That's pretty bold, isn't it? I want to see your glory. And God said, all right, there's a place by me. Nigh. There's a place by me. And I'm going to put your feet on a rock. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to cover you there with my hand. And from there, you'll see my glory. You'll see all my goodness standing on Christ, in Christ, by the precious blood of Christ. We're nigh unto God. We're in the place by him, beholding his glory. Thank God. Don't forget. Don't forget. Lord, don't let us leave our first love. May we love Thee more and more. If we love it all, I pray. And if we don't, help us to begin today. He's worthy of our love and our honor and our praise. Let's pray together.